you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you, hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, June 8th, 2020. It's Memorization Monday, and I'm holding down the fort. So I'll begin today's program with a reading from Ephesians 5, verse 21, our Memorization Monday verse for the week. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We'll be reading about and looking at that verse as discussed by Robert J. Morgan in his book, 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart. But first, let me see a raising of hands. How many of you mowed this weekend? Got your lawns looking like a state park? Maybe got the grill fired up and had burgers, hot dogs, grilled chicken, or bratwurst on the grill? What a gorgeous weekend. Wow, did the weather cooperate? And Holly and I actually had our first dining out experience, kind of a date night, in a restaurant, but not in the restaurant. They had like five canopy kind of tents set out, and so at about 6:30 at night, it was beautiful out. We dined in the parking lot in West Champaign at a wonderful restaurant. Oh, it was so much fun, and brought back memories of what life used to be. Speaking of what life used to be, appreciate your prayers for Holly as she's experiencing some back pain and really is having a hard time getting around, which caused me to make dinner last night. And I don't know if you grew up doing this or your folks did this or parents, but did you ever put butter on the bread when you made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? And I'll tell you a quick little story. When I grew up, for years, many afternoons I'd go to my one friend's house, Tony Ruffalo, and his mom would make us peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And for the life of me, I never figured it out. I never watched her make it. But I always thought, wow, her peanut butter and jelly sandwiches are so much better than my mom's. And I came to learn some years later, she always spread butter on the bread and then covered it with peanut butter and then obviously the jelly. In fact, I think she used jam, so I love peanut butter and jam. Well, last night I decided I'm just going to make some peanut butter and jam sandwiches. And I thought, you know, I don't think I've ever spread butter onto the bread. And so I did that last night, and it brought back memories. So if you've never tried that before and you like butter, go ahead and give it a try. All right. I also this weekend, in between a number of naps, especially yesterday, I read through the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. And when you read a book, especially a book of the Bible, over one or two sittings, you not only get kind of the whole context in mind, but the narrative can often come more alive because you're reading through the whole adventure, the whole story. And so let me touch just on a couple different verses that got me thinking, and maybe it'll be a catalyst for you to dig into the book of Mark today or this week. Reading from Mark chapter 6 and just the first six verses. And this fit really well with Friday's discussion during Mark and Friend as Pastor Jason Schiffo talked about who is Jesus? Who do you say he is? So here's Mark chapter 6 beginning at verse 1. Jesus left there and went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given to him, and he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Oh, Lord Jesus, don't let me be lacking in faith. And for those of you that maybe missed Friday's program when we talked about who did Peter say Jesus was, that we all have to come to a place in our lives where we'll proclaim Jesus as Lord. I love that illustration. He's either a liar, a lunatic, or he's Lord. But a couple passages that really struck me, and I don't know if I'm reading too much into the text, but if you're like me as you pray, Holy Spirit, enlighten my mind, give me insights or healthy conviction so that I can walk faithfully and be a good disciple of Jesus and an effective ambassador for God. And so I always pray that up before I'm reading the scriptures. And so when I got into chapter 9 of Mark, and this section is entitled, Who is the Greatest? Beginning at verse 33 of chapter 9, it says, They came to Capernaum. When he was in the home, he asked them, now this is Jesus speaking, asking the disciples, What were you arguing about on the road? But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last, and the servant of all. He took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, and I think that must have been a beautiful scene, he said to them, Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. And so I was just thinking about the illustration of Jesus welcoming this child, kind of hugging on him, loving on him, caring for him. But it's interesting he uses a child as an illustration when the disciples just got done arguing about who's the greatest. Then I jump over into chapter 10, reading verses 13 through 19. And this is titled, The Little Children and Jesus. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. And I thought, here's another illustration of Jesus loving on the children. And again, using them as an illustration that we need to be like children. Maybe it's their innocence or their total reliance on their parents to survive and get by. Maybe it's they've not been jaded by life. Or I thought, as I tied it back to who is the greatest, how oftentimes maybe we want to be recognized or noticed or do these great things. And Jesus, in a sense, is saying, Hey, hugging on these little kids, the simple things are the great things. It's not that you deliver this fantastic message. It's not that you've donated thousands of dollars. It's not that you're spending hours serving in various ways. All those are good. But oftentimes, maybe to be the greatest, you need to serve in very simple, childlike ways. And doing those simple tasks, welcoming children, being an advocate for people, providing a meal, helping someone in the yard, a multiple of those very simple little tasks may add up to be much greater than some of the things that we get recognized for and are very visible. And I love the picture of Jesus hugging on these kids. And here were the disciples trying to, maybe if you will, protect Jesus and rebuke the parents or these children trying to find their way to see Jesus. And Jesus became indignant. Wow. Interesting passage. I hope maybe it'll cause you to read portions of the Gospel of Mark today. Well, before we look at Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, it's been my practice to play a song to set up the special reading out of 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart by Robert J. Morgan. And today you're going to hear a live version of the Isaacs, produced by Gaither Music, titled I Surrender All, because I believe until we submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it'll be beyond us to fully submit to one another. Here's the Isaacs, I Surrender All.
To Jesus, I surrender. all to thee, my blessed Savior.
All to thee, my blessed Savior.
I surrender all.
Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I miss the days when gas stations did the pumping. When I was learning to drive, gasoline was 18 cents a gallon. As we pulled into the station, we'd run over a cable that rang a bell, summoning an attendant. We'd say, fill her up, or give me a dollar's worth. While the gas was pumping, someone would check our oil, clean the windshield, and check the tires. So much for progress. At least now some cars talk to us and tell us when we're low on fuel, how many miles we have left, and where the closest station is. But my car isn't so fancy. I still have to keep an eye on the gauge. If there were a gauge on your forehead that indicated whether you were filled with the Spirit or empty, what would it read? Where would the needle fall? Ephesians 5:19 through 21 gives us three gauges: singing, thanksgiving, and submission. And I'll pause here. The last few weeks in these programs are archived. We've looked at Ephesians 18, Ephesians 19, and Ephesians 20. So those are all archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archived programs link. But he says Ephesians 5:19 through 21 give us three gauges: singing, thanksgiving, and submission. Each attitude bores more deeply into one's personalities. It's relatively easy to burst into song, more difficult to be thankful on rough days, and harder still to remain humble in our relationships. Furthermore, these attitudes transfer immediately into our marriages, which is the subject of the next paragraph, verse 22 through 33. Going on into chapter 6, this attitude of submission is applied to the parent-child relationship, that's Ephesians 6:1 through 4, and even to the workplace, Ephesians 6:5 through 9. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, it shows on these three dials: singing, thanksgiving, and submission. This obviously isn't a one-time event, nor does it happen suddenly. It's a process, a habitual life of growing in the Spirit-filled, Christ-centered life. Don't tell the Lord, give me a dollar's worth. Say every day, fill her up. True humility, the pith of godliness, doesn't mean developing an unhealthy self-image, but a healthy image. Not of ourselves, but of the Lord Jesus. It's thinking realistically of ourselves and optimistically of Him. It isn't thinking little of ourselves. It's thinking of ourselves less and less and of Him more and more. Humility doesn't go around groveling in the dirt saying, I'm an idiot, I'm no good, I'm cheap, I'm worthless. After all, we're the climax and crown of His creative genius made in His image. We are worth more than many sparrows. We're worth so much, Christ died for us. We're heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. Humility isn't a matter of saying, I'm worthless. It's saying, He's worthy. If pride is the soul of sinfulness, humility is the heart of holiness. It's the basic bread and butter. Oh, there we go, bread and butter. Attitude of Jesus first, others second, and I'll take the leftovers. I'm sent to serve. And if you missed the beginning of the program, I was talking about putting butter on my peanut butter and jam sandwich. So if you missed the opening, you might not have gotten my bread and butter digression here. And then this chapter closes out with a quote by Andrew Murray. The humble man feels no jealousy or envy. He can praise God when others are preferred and blessed before him. He can bear to hear others praised and himself forgotten. Andrew Murray. Well, listening friend, I hope this verse, Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, might be a scripture you ponder and think about today and throughout this week, as submission is a difficult thing, as it reveals our pride and causes us to humble ourselves. But as I mentioned, I think first and foremost, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. And like in the song that was sung by the Isaacs, we need to come to that point of surrendering all to the Lord Jesus Christ as we see Him as our Lord and Savior. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with Great News Radio, a ministry of the Great News Media Group. God bless you and have a great day and night.